The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Mr. Tom Fairbanks. Tom, how are you? Happy New Year. My first time seeing you. Since the new year.
That's true, yeah. Happy New Year to you, too.
Yeah, I hope all went well for you on New Year's Eve. I know you were out late partying, going to all the different events.
No, I did my usual New Year's thing, and that was stay home and make like a couch potato.
Well, there you go. Anyway, here we are, first Friday of 2018. It is the 5th of January on the Buckmaster Show. The program re-airs, by the way, on Saturday morning at 7, our Friday edition gets a re-airing on the weekend. So if you miss a portion, you can hear us tomorrow morning. We are live weekdays noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice, through live streaming. That's our worldwide live listening. You can hear us anywhere in the world at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. We have media partners that I'm so proud of, people who prominently display a link to the Buckmaster Show website, which contains pretty much, we closed out 7 full years of the program Friday, and so we're in year 8. We have pretty much every show on the Buckmaster podcast and on the website since we began. Media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun. Dan Shear is with us, the editor of both those fine publications. Dan, thank you for your support over the years. 7 years already.
I tell you, it's amazing, and I remember your move back to radio, and you started out of the gate strong, and it just become even stronger. So it's great to have you still doing it and doing it well.
Thank you very much. That was a crazy first week, too, of the show back in 2011.
I remember it.
We were the last ones to interview Congresswoman Giffords. Mm-hmm. That was on a Thursday, and of course the tragic shooting here in Tucson was that following Saturday. So in many ways, that interview is of historic proportions.
Absolutely.
And we have it all archived on the website. Other partners, Tucson Media Group, which encompasses Tucson Weekly, Inside Tucson Business, Explorer, Marana News, Foothill News, and Desert News. Also, we have our Southern Arizona News Examiner friends and the Three Sonorans blog. Our Friday Focus interview today, Brent Durad is with us. Mr. Durad, the president and CEO of the area's Tucson area, the Southern Arizona tourism engine known as Visit Tucson. That branding happened really back in 2013. Brent, it was a long name, as I recall, a couple of different long names before Visit Tucson.
Well, no question. And even when people can't get your acronym right, you know that it really is too long. So we were the Metropolitan Tucson Convention and Visitors Bureau. Let me take a breath there after that. So Visit Tucson, I think, is certainly more to the point.
And you really, to come up with that brand, you put a lot of work in to figure out what kind of image you wanted to portray to people.
Without question. And, as we take a look at that, too, what we were actively promoting and advertising, hotels, resorts, golf courses, and spas, certainly product strengths for this this marketplace. But when you take a look at Scottsdale and some of the other cities out there that also have those same, characteristics, I guess, in abundance, you just want to make sure you get to your value proposition. For us, it's really that unique culture that we have here in Tucson. It's the originally owned and operated restaurants here as well. It's the Mexican food. It's that culture. It's hiking and cycling and just the beautiful vistas that we have here in this area.
790-2040, 790-2040, if you would like to join in the conversation. Of course, Dan, this is really serendipitous to have Brent on today because the Tucson, Arizona is probably the only place in the country. Well, Southern California's been in the 70s too, but we're right up there, and then people back east are really been suffering. So this is a great opportunity.
Well, and not to, I guess, take pleasure in others' misery out there, but it's amazing to see, not only at Visit Tucson, but with our hotels and resorts, when it gets really cold in the Midwest and back east, the activity starts in abundance. And for us, our peak season really does run probably from mid-January all the way through April. But those first 2 weeks in January are sometimes a little bit iffy. Having that cold weather back there right now is creating a lot of, you know, maybe unbudgeted and unforeseen leisure travel coming in here. And it's certainly welcome business.
Dan?
So how do you quickly get the word out? I mean, the joke back in the Midwest is that the, you know, wait 10 minutes and the weather will change. And I know that they're going to be locked in for a little while. But how do you very quickly get the message out that, hey, if you want to bask in the sunshine, we're the place to do it?
You know, 10 years ago, we would have been scrambling to call newspapers back in the Midwest and East to see what type of print ad we could place. At this point, from a digital aspect, a lot of things we can control on our own. And being able to get out there digitally through existing media publications, using social media, there are a lot of different tools at our disposal. Some of the things you do try to plan on, things like in Minneapolis, for example, we've got a big presence in their airport right now. Initially, it was just to try to take advantage of some of the new nonstop flight activity coming out of there. But for us to be able to daily post our temperatures out there, and our friends at Tucson Airport Authority are partnering on that. And in fact, even kind of taking the lead on that that temperature aspect of it. But just being able to get those messages in those cold weather markets during these times, it's just vital for us.
What are your numbers looking like for occupancy right now?
So in 2017, we haven't received December numbers yet. We'll get those in a couple of weeks. But right now, through the first 11 months of the calendar year, we're at about 64% occupancy. 5 years ago, for the entire year, we were at 55%. When you take a look, especially over the past 2 years, we've seen massive growth in travel to the Tucson area. When we look at our comp set even, which includes Seattle and San Diego, Phoenix, Scottsdale, et cetera, the percentage growth for us in occupancy and revenue per available room, we are leading that 15-city comp set. So business has been outstanding.
You competed against Tucson when you were at Scottsdale. You were heading up their tourism activities. That was about 5.5 years ago when you came to Tucson. What was your impression of Tucson as a competitor when you were up at Scottsdale?
Well, I came down to Tucson quite often and was just really kind of taken aback by just how beautiful the desert is here. I just saw it as a great opportunity. Tucson at that time was really focusing on, again, just from a promotional standpoint, the resorts, spas, and golf. We really felt like that in the branding process confirmed this for us. We needed to focus on outdoor adventure recreation and just those unique cultural elements. When you get down and really start to enjoy those restaurants, when you meet the people, for us, that was fantastic. Kind of the thing that's evolved since the initial branding has really been downtown as well. And now we take complete advantage of that.
How big an economic driver is tourism in our community?
What we get is from the Arizona Office of Tourism on an annual basis. They get a statewide study and it breaks it out. For us, it's a $2.2 billion economic impact. And I shouldn't even call it economic impact. That's direct spending. You can put multipliers on top of that, but these are direct dollars that come into Tucson and southern Arizona.
So would you characterize our economy being tourism-driven, certainly aerospace with Raytheon? I'm thinking of like a four-legged stool, DM, and then the University of Arizona.
I think that's perfectly put, and we're proud to be in that that group and maybe to be that fourth leg of that stool. And many of the other elements that you just mentioned have been well-established for a long time, but in terms of tourism and travel, we feel like we've just scratched the surface. We're out there marketing every day, but when it comes right down to it as well, product development, including more flights coming in, that'll be part of our future as well.
Dan?
You got here, what, 5 or 6 years ago, and still we were right in the midst of this economic downturn. And I want to know now, do you feel like we're beyond that? Are we kind of climbing out of it? And were there any lessons learned? How do you draw people when there's less money out there? And then also, how much long-term damage do you think there was from the fact that people just weren't coming here for a while?
You know, when I got here in 2012, it was a really difficult time from a tourism and travel standpoint. Looking at the recession, Arizona was one of the last states to actually start to feel the effects of that recession, especially when it came from a tourism standpoint. Part of that goes back to the fact that you had meetings booked a year, 2 years out, and so it kind of took a little while for that to cycle through. Conversely, though, we were one of the last destinations to really come out of this recession. And from a tourism perspective, it's really just been the last 2 years that we've started to increase. We saw cities in our comp set in 2013-14 really start to take off, and we were relatively flat from that perspective. Very frustrating. We're funded through bed tax collections. And so, when times are down, your budget's not going to be as large. You can't maybe advertise to the extent that your competitors are. We felt like the only way to compete was really to really engage on the public relations side. And so we invested more in that area. We've got people that really do nothing but just contact media on a regular ongoing basis, and it's paid huge dividends for us.
So the occupancy rate went from 55% to 64%, you're saying, over that short time. How much of that is attributed just to the fact that the economy was bouncing back, and how much of it is new people discovering Tucson?
I think it's certainly a combination of both. I think the recovery of the economy is easily the biggest factor. There's no question about that. Even when we go and take a look at our economic impact, we try to just measure those things that we can actually go back and show so that there's a paper trail to it. If it's a $2.2 billion industry, what we claimed last year was a $213 million economic impact in terms of what we were able to generate. So less than 10% of the total. We think that we influence more than that, but anytime you run advertising, you don't know how much, just in terms of did that advertising, was that the primary factor? Was it just one of several factors that pushed people over the edge? I think from our standpoint, we've really focused on, for example, with meetings, trying to grow that business, and that's been a big part of our growth. Bringing meeting planners into Tucson is huge for us, and anytime we're out there, whether it's in focus groups talking to consumers, if it's to meeting planners, whatever that customer group might be, if they've been to Tucson, they're going to tell you how great the weather is, how nice the people are, and they're going to talk about their favorite Mexican restaurant. If they haven't been here, they're going to talk about, well, gosh, aren't you right next to the border? Do you have border-related issues? What's the crime like? Is it 100 degrees on a year-round basis? Mm-hmm. Everything is about getting the customer here. And that's really our job. It's if we get the customer here once, Tucson sells itself.
Brent Durad is with us. He heads up Visit Tucson 790-2040. We'll be right back now on the Buckmaster Show. We'll take our first break of our Friday Focus interview. We'll be back with Mr. Durad and Dan Scheer, the Green Valley News, right after this. The Humane Society of Southern Arizona will soon be moving to 635 West Roger Road, our new home. We'll have a pet-friendly cafe, awesome cool cat habitats, lots of play yards for our dogs, a state-of-the-art clinic, and more. We're caring for your new best friend until you find them at the Humane Society of Southern Arizona. Come visit us this February at 635 West Roger Road and fall in love all over again. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com. Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our 3 new guided tours.
The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Brent Durratt is with us from Visit Tucson. Dan Scheer is here from the Green Valley News. Dan, go ahead.
We were talking off the air about Martin Luther King Day and how over 25 years ago that when the state did not approve that holiday initially, that there really was some kickback on as far as tourism goes, and just people didn't want to come to the state. Then years later, we had SB 1070. What were the effects of that, and how would you compare those, and are we still feeling them today?
Yeah, I think they were actually remarkably similar, at least in terms of impact. What it went back to, I think, with the Martin Luther King holiday was just perceptions out there that that Arizona was a racist state. To be candid with you, I was working for the Fiesta Bowl at the time. We finally ended up with Louisville and Alabama committing to our game. Actually, they weren't the first choice, to be honest with you. But when Louisville accepted, they said, "Okay, statewide holiday went down. Show us here in Phoenix where our players, our African-American players in particular, won't be safe." And we're like, "Well, are you kidding me? Of course you're going to be safe wherever you go." It just wasn't the case. But at least, perception is reality in the minds of a lot of people. With Senate Bill 1070, I think it was a similar situation where, again, once that was signed into law, you had just that perception out there that there were going to be a lot of different immigration sweeps. We heard, and I was in Scottsdale at the time, I was hearing from leisure travelers, "We'll never come back to your state." The number of meetings that started to pull out of Phoenix Convention Center and out of hotels and resorts, and it certainly impacted Tucson, and I felt that when I came down here in 12. But Senate Bill 1070 was still very much alive. It's really just been in the past few years that we've seen that, I think, full recovery in terms of meetings, leisure travel, et cetera, coming back.
So that really hurt at a time, too, when the economy really dived in 2008, and then the SB 1070 thing.
And that's, again, you know, when you take a look
double at whammy.
Arizona tourism, that was a really difficult time there. That was in 2010 when that occurred. And the 2010 through, you know, 13, 14, it was a little dicey. But the past three, 4 years have just been phenomenal.
So we have a big winter planned and kind of bookending it with this very successful Arizona Bowl in its third year. I mean, almost a sellout. Over 40,000 people, and now you've got really tourism events, big events through the Book Festival in March, really into April. So this is really prime time.
And that's the thing, you know, with your peak season, a lot of the activities are coming with that. So for us, the gym show is always paramount. 47 shows this year will
really?
Be located in and throughout the Metro Tucson area. Starts January 27th, goes through February 11th. If you're looking for details, TucsonGymShow.org. You can find anything and everything there is about the gym show there. Arizona Bowl was remarkable. I'm fortunate to be on their the executive committee of their board, got to go to Las Cruces, New Mexico for their final game, and just to see it, the fans and the team after 57 years of not having gone to a bowl game, to see that reaction and then to see how they turned out in Tucson. We're looking forward to getting those individual numbers for each date, but I can tell you that was easily the biggest economic impact that we've had from a bowl game.
And that will continue over because Southern New Mexico people, maybe they had been going to Phoenix for their leisure travel. They had a great experience here. Half the town, it seems like, was here, so they'll want to come back.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. Yeah, there's it was just unbelievable. They're still inviting us back out. They want us to. They're like, we can't let go of this. We're going to recognize the team on a court at a basketball game. Please come back. We want you to be a part of the celebration. It's you just don't find that with a lot of bowl games.
Our chain has a lot of newspapers across southern Arizona, and I was out in Tombstone not too long ago and was surprised to learn that these dude ranches and stuff are a huge draw for German tourists. They really like that Old West type of thing. What other niche markets do we have down here in southern Arizona that draw a certain type of person, particularly from out of the country?
Well, we actually are the only destination marketing organization of which I'm aware that has a Mexico marketing department. And so Felipe Garcia, our executive vice president, heads that up. We have two visitor centers in Sonora and actively work that market. But I have to confirm, yes, when it comes to especially the German travelers, they come in the summer. They love the heat. They've got the extended holiday, if you will. But being able to experience the dude ranches, anything in terms of the Old West that we can deliver, including Old Tucson, really seems to resonate with those international customers.
What about day trips? Are a lot of people coming down from Phoenix just for a day or maybe an overnighter? We get a lot of that type of traffic.
I think that happens a lot in terms of day trips. Again, even things like, Bill, you mentioned the Book Festival. There are a lot of people from Phoenix who come down to experience that.
And birding this time of year, that's a huge niche market.
Birding is
people
phenomenal.
Come from all over the world to Madera Canyon down near your area, Dan.
Absolutely.
To see the elegant trogon that only comes up to this part of the United States in the winter. I would love to see that bird. But birders, they are very passionate.
They certainly are. And there's a national conference that's actually going to be coming in this spring. They'll spend a lot of time, not just in Tucson, but throughout southern Arizona. My son's a budding ornithologist, and so he's going to be leading all kinds of group tours as well, certainly down into Madera Canyon, up to Mount Lemmon and other places.
Well, I know downtown the bookings have been really strong at the new Marriott downtown. We had some out-of-town visitors from Europe that were trying to get a room down there, and they couldn't because they've been sold out. But so occupancy has been very good.
It's been terrific for us. This was the first time in November that we had surpassed that 60% mark in well over a decade. And so seeing that, anecdotally, December was terrific. Again, January through April is our peak season. We'll have occupancies, I think, in January, probably pushing approaching 70%, but it's more 80-85% in that February and March timeframe.
And the food thing has been huge.
Yes. Tucson being designated as the first UNESCO city of gastronomy in the United States has been great for us. We talk about publicity and the fact that we, 3 years ago, were just over $5 million in terms of the value of the travel coverage received in Tucson and Southern Arizona. Last year, that that mark hit $30.5 million. So to take that up sixfold in just 3 years has been terrific. We can attribute probably nearly half of that total coverage to food and the UNESCO designation.
Visit Tucson.com. That is your website, correct?
You bet. Absolutely.
And for folks on the GEM show, you said there was another website for that, or can Tucson, they all get that at Visit Tucson, all the events?
They can, but okay. TucsonGEMShow.org, O-R-G, will get you all the GEM show information.
Brent, thank you very much. Brent Durad with us. Thanks a lot.
Bill, thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks. All right, we're going to take our break right here. We have Jim Nintzel, the Tucson Weekly. Lots of political stuff to talk about. With Dan and Jim, and we'll be right back on Buckmaster on a Friday.
The wait is over, Tucson. For the first time in Arizona history, red pandas are at the Reed Park Zoo. This adorable duo will be calling Tucson home until March of 2018. For more information, visit reedparkzoo.org.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday, the Monday Political Face-Off features commentators Vince Robigo and John Munger, then our monthly visit with retired General John Wickham, former United States Army Chief of Staff. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI.
The wait is over, Tucson. For the first time in Arizona history, red pandas are at the Reed Park Zoo. This adorable duo will be calling Tucson home until March of 2018. For more information, visit reedparkzoo.org.
Welcome back. It is the roundtable portion of our Friday program on the Buckmaster Show as we round out the beginning of debut week, week eight. No, not week eight, year eight of the Buckmaster Show. And one gentleman who has been with us since the beginning of Buckmaster, we put in our 7 full years on Friday, is Jim Nintzel, the editor of the Tucson Weekly. Jim, how are you?
I'm great, Bill, and congratulations on a good 7-year run, and here's to a good 21 more.
Yeah, there you go. You know, I was reflecting at the beginning of the program with Dan Scheer, who's with me from Green Valley News, about that first week of the Buckmaster Show. We did the last interview with Gabrielle Giffords on the Thursday before the shooting. And I was also reflecting, we had our interview, and I know you have an interview as well with Ron Barber in the current issue of the Weekly. Ron is still undergoing physical and psychological pain from that horrible day, Jim.
As are many people, Bill. It shattered many, many lives, and I think it's a day none of us who were here to see it unfold will ever forget. And I think this news about the memorial coming up on Monday, where they have completed their fundraising and they're going to lay out exactly how that's going to look, is an important day to develop that and remember those whose lives were lost and those who were injured and those who were affected by what happened.
Go ahead.
And all these years later, it's just as fresh. And if you recall, Gabrielle Giffords had just come through a really rough campaign in 2010 against Jesse Kelly, and they didn't know the results of that for a while. And then a couple weeks after that election, she and I met just one-on-one, talked about 45 minutes, and just about kind of where she was heading and the coverage during that campaign. Like I said, it was really rough. She's just a class act, and then this happens.
She will be at that event, by the way, Jim, which gets underway at 9 o'clock downtown for the announcement by Ron Barber, who's president of the January 8th Memorial Foundation. And it's very good news. They did get the funding for what they're trying to do, and I think it's going to be good for Tucson. And I'm sure you agree, Mr. Nintzel.
Yeah, and without a doubt, I mean, I think the whole master plan they have in mind for the El Presidio Park there will really transform that space into a better space than it is now, where you have so many community gatherings. And, honestly, I'm looking forward to seeing the rehabilitation of the old Pima County Courthouse. Certainly glad to see that is underway as well.
We're hearing rumors that the announcement, long-awaited announcement from Martha McSally, will be coming possibly by the end of next week as she formally enters the U.S. Senate race for the seat that will become open when Jeff Flake leaves the Senate at the end of this year. Jim, what is this? How is this Kelly Ward, Martha McSally primary shaping up, in your opinion, especially in light of this very, very nasty feud between Steve Bannon, who has endorsed Kelly Ward, and President Trump?
Well, I don't know that you have anything but nasty feuds when Donald Trump is involved. So I think that's just kind of par for the course. But, you know, I you can see that Congresswoman McSally, who'd kept her distance from Donald Trump throughout last year's campaign and even going into this year, and was trying to, you know, say that she can't understand why people would connect her to the president in speeches to organizations, has definitely started to really buddy up to the president over the last couple of months. So it's pretty clear that she was no longer thinking about running in a competitive congressional district, but more thinking about running on a statewide level against a very Trump-aligned Republican in Kelly Ward. You know, some of Kelly Ward's allies have already gone after Congresswoman McSally as, you know, amnesty Martha, or whatever nickname they'd stuck her with, because she had supported the DREAM Act in the past. And I think you've got a really fascinating purity test going on in many Republican parties these days, and that's certainly going to be happening in this one. I would give the advantage to Martha only because you know, she's going to be able to raise considerably more money than Kelly Ward's going to be able to raise. She's going to have a lot of institutional support behind her. But on the other hand, Republican primary voters have been quite unpredictable in who they've been picking, and they've definitely been picking the most extreme candidate in many other races. So this is going to be a barn burner between these two.
I think, Bill, it'll be interesting to see how Martha McSally plays statewide outside of Pima and Cochise counties, and how she is received. I think I would side with Jim on this as far as giving her the advantage in this, at least at this point. I think both candidates will have some very tough questions regarding their connections with the administration and going forward, what the administration may be expecting from them if they win. So it'll be real interesting, and we'll see if she actually does get into the race possibly next week.
I would not underestimate Kelly Ward. She has a very, very dedicated following throughout Arizona. She's built up this organization. But again, Martha McSally's going to have a lot of money. And of course, Martha McSally's very well known here in Southern Arizona, but we'll see statewide. How well known is she in the Phoenix area, Dan?
Sure. Yeah, very good. And I know she gets up there, and I know that, you know, she does have some name recognition, and she's on a lot of the, you know, the national programs and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it won't be a complete, you know, brand new introduction of who she is. So we'll see how this plays out.
And I think you're right, Bill, in that Kelly is a very dynamic person on the stump, and has built a good organization. And remember, whoever comes out of this primary is going to be up against Kirsten Sinema, who's probably the best Democrat you could send up against a Republican in a statewide Senate race. But Democrats have not had the best of luck in statewide campaigns in recent years. On the other hand, this is going to be perhaps a blue wave year, and if early polling is showing anything at all, and we'll see how many very conservative positions Martha ends up taking to win that primary.
How about Chris Ackerley, Dan Scheer? You spoke with Mr. Ackerley, the former state representative in LD2. He lost to Daniel Hernandez, and you've had your own run-ins with Mr. Hernandez, haven't you?
Right, and Chris, as a Republican, is got a lot done. He got six bills through during his one term, which is more bills through than any Democrat who has been out of that district in the last, you know, 5 or 6 years. And that's because, of course, Republicans dominate the legislature, and it's easier for him to do. But he went in there to get a lot done. But he did win in 2014 in a heavily Democratic district. And then he lost in 2016, spoke to him last week. He wants back in, and he is counting the cost, and it is a big cost. He's a teacher. He has to take the spring semester off to work in the legislature. It's a huge cost to his family, but he is very dedicated to local service. We'll see how this plays out. Daniel gets a lot of money from outside the state because he's somewhat of a national figure. Going back to the Gabby Giffords thing, he was credited with saving her life, actually, by he was there at the shooting, and then he kind of goes on this whirlwind national tour. he gets lots of money from out of state. So this will be an interesting thing. And of course, we have Rosana Gabaldon, who's the other member of the House, who will.
But your
also
run-in with Mr. Hernandez pertained to his credentials.
He'd been lying for several years about having a degree from the University of Arizona. He did not have one, and then he said he was going to get it in the next 6 months, and he didn't do that. Last I heard was about last fall. He said he was taking a class at Pima Community College to finish up that degree. It still doesn't excuse the fact that he lied about it for years. He denies he lied about it, but we won't go into all of his excuses. No. The fact is he was lying.
Jim, do you want to jump in here, or would you rather change the subject?
Well, I think Chris Ackerley, has his work cut out for him only because, again, heavily Democratic district, as Dan has pointed out, he definitely was able to pull out an upset victory a few years back because he really was able to get his voters out. And quite often, there's a lot of voters and Democratic voters in that district who don't turn out because of the it's been a continuing problem getting Latino voters out for Democrats, and that's a big part of that district. So it's certainly not out of the realm of possibility. Again, a blue wave here, it gets a little tougher, but we don't even know that blue wave is forming. But we know that it's forming. We don't know that it's going to land. And Chris did do a lot of terrific work when he was in the legislature. I would certainly agree with Dan's assessment of that.
Now, Jim, let me ask you a question because Chris brought this up to me. He felt like his loss in 2016 could largely be attributed to what was happening on the national level, and that there was a lot of interest because of Trump being in the race, and some of that kind of washed over him, and you had a lot more Democrats coming out. And I'm not sure that I agree with that, to be honest with you, because I think local politics is local, and I think people kind of make that delineation. No doubt a lot more people showed up to show how they felt about Trump one way or the other, but he will not have that perhaps as much in this race. But do you think the national race really affected the local politics that much 2 years ago?
I think, I was actually surprised, obviously by the victory of Donald Trump. From what I'm reading this week, even Donald Trump was surprised by the victory of Donald Trump. I think that I was anticipating Democrats would do much better in the national environment last year, or 2 years ago in 2016, than they did, which is why I'm kind of hedging my bets on this year. You look at the polling. I think national mood does play a big role in certainly congressional races. I think that politics is less local than it used to be. I think a lot of people look at what's going on at the top and they respond appropriately to that, which is why I think the Republicans did as well as they did during the Obama administration, and I think Democrats are going to do pretty well in the next year. But I think there was William Goldman once, Hollywood screenwriter, once said the only thing that's sure about Hollywood is nobody knows anything. And I think at this point, politics seems to be moving in that same direction.
We have the State of the State, believe it or not, coming up on Monday. The governor then is here in Tucson. He pretty much rereads the address. Jim, have you heard anything about marquee issues? Last year, there was the big focus on education. I would think the governor is going to have to do something because his Democratic opponents, their big issue is education.
Yeah, and he's been trying to craft himself as an education governor, with the school trust initiative a while back, where they were able to bust into the trust and find some more funding for education. But we're still way behind on the education forefront. It's an issue, I think, that's on a lot of voters' minds. On the other hand, Democrats, as I think I said earlier, are just having a really hard time winning statewide in Arizona. I would certainly give the advantage to Republicans in this year as well.
Dan?
I think what makes a big impression down in Green Valley and Sahuarita is the number of unfilled teaching posts at the beginning of the school year.
Yes.
And we report that widely. And the Sahuarita School District did a lot better than a lot of them did this year. But you're still filling some long-term sub-posts with people who don't have total certification. You're still plugging holes. And until that ends in Arizona, I think people are, just as Jim said, going to be very focused on education. And it's going to take a lot more than what we've done so far.
And there's a big question about that Prop 301, you know, the education sales tax, 0.6 cents, is expiring in a few years. And there's a real push to try to get something on the ballot this year because they don't want to wait till the last minute in case it doesn't pass. And, you know, I think there are business interests who want to see that pass. There's certainly education interests that want to see that pass. But I think Governor Ducey does not have an appetite to put that forward this year.
But that's exactly right, that it expires in 2020. That Ackerley mentioned that to me. He's a teacher. He's very, very interested in making sure that you hit that early and hard. If it goes down, it has a lot more ramifications than just the education system.
All right. Jim Nitzel, we'll look for your work at the Tucson Weekly. Thanks, Jim.
Always a pleasure. Happy New Year to you and Dan and all your listeners.
Thank you very much. And Dan Scheer will look for stories coming up about pickleball in the Green Valley News. It's
online
a big
now.
Deal, isn't it?
Huge deal, not only here, but statewide and nationally.
Yeah. Do you have enough courts?
No. We need more in Green Valley and Sahuarita. We'd actually like to start hosting tournaments, which everybody wants to do. The national championships were actually recently held in Casa Grande, where they had 1,300 players.
Wow.
This thing's going nuts, Bill.
All righty. Thank you to Dan Scheer and to Jim Nitzel. We're going to have Mr. Matt Russell, Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly Food and Beverage Editor, right after this. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Bon Voyage Travel's 2018 Travel Showcase is back. With over 30 travel companies to share their knowledge and a room full of travel professionals, you can't go wrong. Planning the perfect vacation takes time and involves quite a bit of research. Bon Voyage Travel is here to simplify the process and ensure you always receive the best value. Join us February 3rd at La Paloma from noon to 4 p.m. There will be presentations, exclusive offers, prizes, and a show floor giving you the opportunity to have a one-on-one consultation with us. Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Great weekend getaway just 3 hours east of Tucson to a totally different environment. Beautiful hiking, camping, exploring historic Silver City, just hanging out in a lovely environment. And there's some great places to eat, by the way, in historic Silver City. Go to their website, Southwest New Mexico, spell it all out, .org for the full listing of the fine places to stay and the many recreation opportunities in Grant County and Silver City, New Mexico. Let's welcome now the president and CEO of Russell Public Communications. He is the Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, food and beverage columnist, Mr. Matt Russell. Happy New Year, Mr. Russell.
Happy New Year to you as well, Bill. What a glorious time to be alive, I'll tell you.
Isn't it? It is. What's this news I'm hearing now about the playground?
Yeah, you know, the new year ushers in a lot of changes, and this downtown hotspot that you just talked about, they've reopened after a 7 months, $3.2 million renovation. They were closed for 7 months. It's the new and improved playground, bar, and lounge on Congress Street. Check it out. A brand new mahogany and leather lounge on the first floor. A completely new solid gold bar with heating and cooling on the huge rooftop patio. An amazing outdoor courtyard. It's perfect for happy hour today. I say give their Menage a Mac a go. Three variations on the mac and cheese theme. Some wonderfully creative cocktails that says happy to me at playground today.
Anything new for the brisket lovers?
Yeah, you know, the spring barbecue season, Bill, is only a couple of months away, and the pit masters at the Horseshoe Grill over there on Broadway and Pantano, they're going to be equipping you for success this year with a brisket 101 class that starts tomorrow morning at 9:30. Now, you're going to learn how to select a brisket, how to trim the cut, seasoning and smoking tips, what kind of wood to work with, the art of slicing, and the best part, your brisket is yours to take home later that day. Or to enjoy right there at the restaurant, just $48 per person. And believe me, your friends are going to be asking you to do all the barbecuing this season with these newly acquired skills.
How about those yearning for a big piece of steak?
Yeah, I tell you what, there's some fun things happening at Charo Steak on the weekends, including a new brunch menu that's already making news. Now, they've got their kind of unique twists on brunch staples, but they've created something called the Breakfast Paco, P-A-C-O, which Paco is a taco made with a pancake tortilla. It's got eggs and cheese and salsa. You can even upgrade it by adding some pork belly to make it a true Paco Palooza. Brunches from 10 to 3 on Saturday and Sunday at Charo Steak. It's on the corner of Broadway and Fifth Avenue. Sounds like a lot of fun.
It does sound like fun. What's in the column this week?
Well, my top 10 columns of 2017 are officially revealed, showing what Tucson liked most about my stories that cover the local culinary and cocktail scene, and you can experience them all over again in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business, and then the following week in Tucson Weekly.
Very good. Matt Russell, thank you very much. Thanks for your service to this program over 7 full years. We're into year 8.
It is a privilege indeed, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. The Bill Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. And we do want to thank our friend Chris Stefan for his original theme music that he developed for the Buckmaster Show. There's a link to Mr. Chris Stefan at buckmastershow.com. Thanks, Rosemary Brandt, my longtime assistant, and thanks to the team here at KVOI. Of course, Tom Fairbanks, he's my guy. On Friday, engineering and producing Ray Allen in that very chair, Monday through Thursday. Ray is also our fine operations manager. And, of course, let's not forget Jerry Cross, the funny man, the production manager, who does such a great job with our commercials. The ladies up front, Mr. and Mrs. Martin, the owners of this locally owned and operated Tucson Radio Group. All of us wishing you a safe and pleasant weekend.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI. Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.